This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato. I hit it
hard, man. Good morning. It is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Jake Aspen filling in for John Granato this morning, but we do have the golf doctor himself, the great Charlie Epps, with us here in studio. And, of course, Bill Harmon will join us coming up in the next segment. But good morning, Charlie. Great to be back on the show with you guys this morning.
Well, Jake, it's always a pleasure. You're filling in with John. John is off with Wendy having fun, and we're going to do some golf. And it's exciting to be a Houstonian in Houston, Texas, in December to have a major championship, unheard of, at Champions. But Champions has hosted all the USGA major championships. Jackie Burke and Robin Burke have just done a wonderful job promoting the game of golf. Wonderful golf club. I was out there on Thursday for the opening day. A lot of excitement. Of course, the spectators aren't there because of COVID, and the players know that. They miss them because they're such an important part of golf, because golf is one of the only sports where the public is 2 feet from the golfer. And it's an incredible feeling to stand next to these players and have them hit their shots, and you really get a sense of being there. You know, it's not like sitting up in row 79 in the third deck at NFL. But anyways, it's going very good. The golf course is excellent. So we got a special guest today, Steve Elkington, who is a member at Champions, major champion. Has won everything, and he's been out of Champions for God knows how long. A cougar, I mean, originally from Australia, and he's been involved in the setup of the golf course, so he's going to chime in, and Bill Harmon's going to join us. So we're going to have a great show.
We have a packed show. It's Steve Elkington, as you just mentioned, Charlie. He will be joining us at 9:25 a.m. Eastern Time, 8:25 Central Time, and it's not every day, as we were talking off air, you get someone like Steve who's volunteering being part of this major, and you know, he has a major of himself, winning the 1995 PGA Championship. Not too shabby. So we have a busy show, a whole lot to cover. We'll break down everything happening in the world of golf, and of course, as Charlie mentioned, with the U.S. Women's Open happening right here in our backyard here in Houston, Texas, where our studios are based, Charlie has a unique insight on everything happening. So we talk about that and bring Bill Harmon onto the show coming up next. It is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, and you're listening here on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
We have a whole lot to cover. Jake Aspen filling in for John Granato this morning here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Charlie, of course, in studio. And now, as we do each and every week at this time, we welcome on the great Bill Harmon to the program. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
You know, we're doing good, Bill, as you can imagine. You've been in Houston. You know Champions. You know Jackie and Robin Burke. It's exciting times. I was out there on Thursday, and the golf course is magnificent. Both 18 holes. This is a unique year for that because of winter hours. But what do you think, Bill? Do you watch it? Do you have any interest in the U.S. Open in December?
Yes, I do. I love watching the ladies play. I think So-Young Ryu is a member of Toscana, former number one player and former U.S. Open champion. And every time people ask me how she plays, my first expression is she's a beautiful golfer. And I think you have a lot of beautiful players out on the LPGA Tour. And, Charlie, I got to watch about an hour of it yesterday, and it looked like the rough is almost non-existent because of the time of year, but I'm always amazed at how beautiful the LPGA players hit their hybrids and their fairway woods. They're very straight players. It'll be a very interesting weekend, I believe, because now that they're on the Cypress course, which I think I read played a stroke harder than the Jackrabbit, You know, we have about 19 women under par. I suspect we'll have maybe a handful by Sunday afternoon. But the leaderboard is interesting with two amateurs occupying second and third place. That's very unusual in any professional golf tournament.
And it's interesting that Caitlin Papp was one of the participants in the Spirit International Golf
really?
Tournament held at Whispering Pines in 2019. And I got to know her a little, but she, talented girl, lovely girl, and it was interesting that her and her partner got their scorecard mixed up and they got disqualified. Just one of those funny things that happened in golf. But, yeah, I'm going to go out there and watch her today and the rest of the girls. And you're right. Their golf swings are really elegant. They're also, man, they're long, Bill. I mean, they're
much longer than people think. Yeah,
they're starting to create some
speed. Have you been impressed with the overall play, Charlie, because you got to watch them up close?
Yes, I have. I'm chipping and pitching and putting. They're long irons. I've been on the par threes and watching that. And you know, the golf courses here at Champions, Champions Creek, which is the tournament course where the U.S. Open's been held and the Ryder Cup, is really demanding. And today they'll set it up harder. The pin placements, hole locations are going to be more challenging. Weather's coming in. They played in some weather yesterday, some rain, but today is going to be a little chillier, a little more rain, and then tomorrow is going to be a little more winter-like weather. So they're going to be challenged more. But, you know, one of the stories, Bill, that I think is really interesting is Christy Kerr. 10 days ago,
yes.
she was in a horrible golf cart accident, and she's playing with three dislocated ribs. I mean, she's really stepped up and is right there close to the lead. But I think the big story is Jackie Burke, the history he has in developing this golf course with Jimmy DeMeritt back in 1956. And as professionals and Jackie knew, the best way to promote his facility was to have major championships and get people to identify with Champions. And they've done that. Ryder Cup, U.S. Opens men, U.S. Open ladies, U.S. amateur men and women, and then the Houston Open for, I don't know, 10 years. So they've had it all. And the golf course has stood the test of times, and it's a unique golf course that they'll see today on television. The greens are extremely big, and it's going to challenge their lag putting.
Yeah, I was going to be very interested to see how they play when the weekend came, because the greens really are big. And so I think the lag putting might determine who wins this tournament, because I think the girls will hit a lot of greens because they hit the ball so straight, even though the golf course is long. But I got thinking that the putting and the creativity on the greens will be very, very important this week, given the size and the undulation of the greens. So I'm actually very excited to watch this weekend. And it is a major championship, and I think it's fantastic what the USGA has done to not only host this tournament, but the U.S. Open at Wingfoot and all the hoops that they've had to jump through to put on these events. I think they've done an absolutely fantastic job.
Yeah, and there's so many volunteers. The only spectators they'll have at the golf course today are the volunteers that spend hours and hours out there, and when their shift is over, they've been given permission to hang around and watch. But COVID is very real here in Houston, and they've done everything they can to allow people to watch it but not get COVID. And I know personally I had to go 24 hours earlier on Monday, have my test, get it 24 hours later before I could set foot on the premise. So
absolutely,
they have that in mind, and so all in all, it's fun to see a major championship in Houston at Champions in December.
How do you guys think the lack of spectators is impacting the feel of a major championship? Do you think by now the players are accustomed to playing in front of very little people in the galleries, or is that still an adjustment given the magnitude of this tournament?
Bill, what do you think?
Well, I think they're used to it, having once the tour restarted after the COVID delay. But I do think it is different. I think that, you know, we all watched the when I was at the Open at Wingfoot, and I actually caddied for a marker the last day, and to walk 18 holes without one spectator on Sunday of a U.S. Open in New York was odd, to say the least. And I'm sure it'll be that way this weekend at the Champions. But it's still a major championship. It's still going to go in the history books and the records and all that stuff. And I think every girl there wants to be the U.S. Open champion. But, Jake, I do believe it is different. And I actually think for the lesser-known players, it's easier. They probably don't feel nearly the pressure they would if there were 25,000 people clamoring around there today.
Yes, and I asked that question to Robin Burke, who is really the chairman of the event, along with Jackie. And I said, Robin, you know, everything is so special, and you guys have put your other golf course in play to accommodate 156 players in December. But the lack of the spectators, what does that do to you? Charlie says, all Jackie and I want is to see on Sunday they crown the champion of the 2021 Ladies U.S. Open at Champions. So, yes, the players will miss it, but it's still a great atmosphere. They have all the tents out there, the signage, all the scores, and so it's the environment is great.
You'll be in that environment coming up later today, right, Charlie?
Oh, yeah, I'm going right over there. I've got my, hopefully my rain gear won't be needed today, but I'm going to follow Caitlin. I'm going to, there's some other girls that I want to see play, and there's a whole par three. I like to sit on the par threes and watch their iron play and the par threes at Champions on Cypress Creek are very challenging, and so it's a golfer's paradise, Bill, to have this many great swings and to be able to sit there for 7-8 hours watching golf.
No doubt about it, and that's probably the only good thing about it, Charlie, is if you do happen to be able to be on property like I was at the U.S. Open at Wingfoot, you get to watch the players about as up close and personal as you ever will. It's kind of odd. You can stand right there on every tee or every green and see everything. It's almost like you're playing with them. It's so eerily quiet, and you get so close to them.
The person that really struck me, and I watched her the first day, Lexi Thomas, who's tied for 81st and missed the cut. It was almost
Thompson. You mean
Thompson? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's almost like she didn't want to be here. I mean, it was so an attitude of being disinterested, and she said that she's close to retirement. You know, at her young age, because she'd been playing golf since she's 6 years old. But it didn't look like her heart was in it.
Even though she had the super caddy with her, huh?
Yeah. I mean,
which was interesting.
Yeah, exactly right. But that was really a surprise to me.
She's still just 25 years old, so very young to be thinking about retirement, no doubt about that. He's Charlie Epps in studio. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. The great Bill Harmon joining us over the phone. And coming up next, we welcome in 1995 PGA Championship major winner, Australian professional golfer, now lives here in Houston. Of course, Charlie, he's a Coug. He's a Houston Cougar.
Big time Coug.
Steve Elkington will join us next here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Stay tuned. You're listening to the show right here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
Jake Asman filling in for John Granato. It is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Now joining us here on the show is the winner of the 1995 PGA Championship. Houston's own Steve Elkington joins us on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Steve, we can't thank you enough for the time you're on with Charlie Epps and Bill Harmon, and we can't thank you enough for calling in and being part of the show this morning.
There's a couple of familiar names, I know.
Hey,
Elkie, Bill Harmon here. How you doing, pal? I'm great. Thanks, Bill.
Well,
now, Elkie, you have always been a real student of the golf swing and been out there watching, you know, the best women players in the world. Have there been any golf swings out there that just impressed you right away when you watched them?
One of the swings that I saw, of course, Mel Reid from England, who didn't make the cut this week, she has a great swing, real technical swing. But the one that I'm looking at is the gal, Emily Peterson from, I think she's from Norway. She's won five times on the European Tour, the last three events in a row, I think, on Europe. She also missed the cut. Looks like she didn't putt very well because she played behind Catherine Kirk, an Australian girl that I followed for the last 2 days with her husband. But those two are real standouts. You know, there's so many, you know, I was having this conversation the other day with a bunch of guys, and people were asking me if all those track mans out there on the range and all the girls are getting all that information, and they're all, you know, they're all, you know, great looking actions. And someone said, would you have used that back in the day if you had all this? And I said, of course I would. I mean, if I had a machine that was sitting there telling me that I was a couple of degrees off of what my best swing was, I would be stupid not to use it. But it seems to me, Bill and Charlie, that the girls, they've got all the information, but then they also have to have a coach come by and tell them how to move their swing. Now, luckily for us, we knew how to move our swings. We just didn't know, we didn't have the feedback to know how much we moved them.
Did we lose you?
Yeah,
he's still
here. No, I think I'm here.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, Elkie, that's an interesting point because when you were playing, you know, I tell people that most of the good players back then were soloists, and they would use a set of eyes every now and then. But now we have a couple generations of players that, you know, when they're 10 years old, they grew up with coaches or used to having coaches. And I think in many cases it's good, but I also wonder if they become too dependent on it and don't ever rely back on their own feel and their own intuition. Do you see a problem of players being overcoached today?
It's I don't know if it's overcoached or is it getting the wrong information, like getting the wrong fix. In other words, like if my swing, you know, is, you know, a couple degrees off, let's say I'm, you know, for me, I always use my knees into the ball. So I always had a vision of my swing being a little bit inside out. And if I got too far inside out, I had to do a couple of things. I might have had to straighten my left leg a little earlier. I might have had to open my hips up but hold my shoulders back. I think what a tendency on the new game is they overcoach them. There's too much. Like they have to rebuild the whole backswing all of a sudden. I think most of these players are so good they can fix this thing on the fly if they only knew how to. You know what I mean?
Steve, we know you've been involved with Champions for so many years, and Jackie and Robin have stepped forward and put this championship on. How's Jackie holding up?
He's pretty good. You know, he's not real crazy about these masks, you know, and he's the only one around there that doesn't wear one. But I think I saw him one this week with one on. He's unbelievable. He says, well, you know, I'm going to die soon anyway. What's the difference? You know, you know, interestingly, Champions Club, you know, Mr. Burke, you two know him as well as anyone. He's always wanted to have big events at the club. And, you know, this particular U.S. Women's Open was important to him. And I'll tell you why, because he's almost had every USGA event on their calendar play at Champions. Of course, we know 71 when the U.S. Open, Orville Moody, Hogan was the captain here in 60 for the Ryder Cup. I think it was 60. We've had the amateur. Tiger Woods played here in the amateur. We've had all these great events. And this one, I think only Pinehurst has had more USGA championships than Champions. So good for Champions, good for Mr. Burke.
Now, the other thing that I'm sure the girls are seeing a little different, the size of the greens and the pin placements, I'm sure, will be a little more difficult on this weekend with the speed. I know we've had some rain, but what's the step meter saying to the golf ball as far as speed is concerned?
They're trying to keep them at 12.5 on the stamp. You know, I think we putt them sometimes in the, you know, on a weekend at 14. I just took a look at the pins. I was lucky enough to be here last week, was asked to go out with the USGA to kind of look at pins. I didn't really give much input other than I've nodded my head when they found all the best pins. But if you look at the pin sheet today, they are way in the corners today. This is going to be the day. I mean, 7-under's leading it with Schebueno. We've got, you know, she's got 3-shot lead. Stacey Lewis is right there. It's, you know, 3-under, 2-under. There's a couple of amateurs in there. But this is, it got wet last night, probably rained half an inch. Of course, they can only put the tees up so far. I mean, there's, you know, so today's the day. Will the scoring come way back? I said all week it was going to be even par. We're not going to get that north wind. It doesn't look like tomorrow, but it's going to be long. And you guys know that it's so hard to get the ball near the pin. And the girls are coming in with less trajectory, less spin. It's just so hard to get to make birdies. I think they come back today. I think they come back 2 or 3 strokes today.
What's the yardage that they'll play this weekend? Is it close to 6,800, or where are they locating the tee markers?
Yeah, 67. They have a lot of flexibility in the tees. But, you know, now that the rough has gotten wet, you know, we had a frost about 2 weeks ago, so the rough wasn't too bad. But now that it's wet, it's just going to go to the bottom. I think the power game's going to be in play today. I don't really look at the board and say, okay, well, this person or this girl has a huge advantage because she hits it far. You're going to have to hit it straight. And you're going to have to hit greens, and you're going to have to putt really good. Three putt avoidance and proximity to the hole is the name of the game from here on in.
Steve Elkington joining us.
You know, it reminds me a little bit of the Open at Wingfoot. I think they set up Wingfoot a little bit easier Thursday and Friday because they had to get people in, finish the rounds. And as the week wore on, it turned out there was only one person finishing under par. And I'd be surprised if you have more than a handful under par.
Steve, can you stay with us for a little while longer, or you need to get out there?
No, I'm good. You know, I'm on the greens crew, but if you really was out here, you'd think I was on the driving range. So I'm good.
You can stay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, we have about a minute left in the segment here, Steve, and then we're about to go to break. So let me ask you this: as someone who has played at the highest level, who's won a major championship, what do you think the adjustments like playing this major championship without very little spectators being around the course?
Oh, you know, when this started, the pandemic, I thought it was going to be an opportunity for all the young players on the tour and the ladies to come through and not deal with a bunch of pressure on the weekend. But it's turned out to be exact opposite. It's almost all the star players have won all the way across the board. Hardly any new players have won. So it doesn't have the atmosphere. You know, the girls are still grinding. I was out there, I followed the 36 holes. The girls can hardly tell the difference, but it's just not the same. It's not tour golf.
And do you think ultimately the PGA Tour and the LPGA Tour overall being able to navigate through this pandemic, have you been impressed looking at just everything that has been able to go on and still being able to put forth, you know, week after week of tournaments that golf fans have been able to enjoy?
I'm very impressed with the tour's protocol to get them out there, but I'm equally as impressed with the tour players. I think they're the ones that have changed the game. They've actually got through it. I mean, I talked to some of the players here this week. They're not allowed to leave their room when they go home. They've got to stay in the house. They're not allowed to go to restaurants. If they do, they can be fined. I mean, it's so lonely, I would think. Billy and Charlie, imagine going on the tour for 5 weeks and you had to stay in your room the whole time, top to bottom. That's no fun.
No, that's not enough good TV for that. So, but
he's Steve Elkington. So, Steve, we're about to take a quick break. If you'd like to join us for another segment, we'll have you on following up in just a couple of minutes. He's Steve Elkington, of course, the 1995 PGA Championship winner, one of the great players on the PGA Tour, a proud University of Houston alum, as, of course, we're talking all things U.S. Women's Open, which is taking place right in our backyard here in Houston, Texas. So coming up, another segment with Steve Elkington. A lot still to cover, and we'll break it down for you here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
It is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Good morning. Welcome in on a Saturday morning. Jake Asman is filling in for John Granato. We do have Bill Harmon over the phone and, of course, the great Charlie Epps in studio here in Houston. Steve Elkington, the 1995 PGA Championship major winner, is staying with us for another segment. Before we get back to Steve, though, Charlie, tell everyone all about Insperity.
Insperity is our sponsor, and we're really happy to have them with us because they're such a great company. They have grown so well over since 1986. They now, it's a $4 billion company with 3,500 employees all over our nation. And the one thing that they specialize in is treating their employees so that they treat their customers the way customers should be treated. And it's just all about personal relationships, and it's about knowledge. And Insperity has really perfected the art of IT, the human resources. They can help businesses improve the small things so that they can grow to big companies. So if you're in the, you know, if you want some help and you need some guidance, log on to Insperity.com, call them, seek their advice. They'll give you your opinion, and I guarantee you they will help you. Insperity is a company that everybody wants to do business with.
And joining us on the phone for part of another segment here, we're honored to have him on with us, is Steve Elkington. And Steve, of course, we asked you all about the women's tournament that is going on right in our backyard here in Houston, the U.S. Women's Open. Now, for you, since you've been out there, you know the course. What are some keys to look out for today? What is something that any golf fan that's tuning in should be aware of as they check out this major?
Well, now that I'm on the volunteer side of the fence, all the members and everybody want to see the golf course play really hard. They want to see the girls struggle. And, you know, I just sent Charlie the pin sheet in the break, and we've got some really dangerous pins out there today, and they're pushed into the back corners of the greens on the left side. So, you know, the way that you play champ, they're going to have to get through 1, 2, 3, 4. Then they get an easy par 5, the 5th and the 9th. There's just a lot of... The Champions Club is known for two things: very long par fours and very, very large greens.
Bill,
Elkie, you said something to me one time. I'll never forget it, and I think it was brilliant. That if you're going to win a tour event, and if you weren't Jack or Tiger or one of the super duper stars, that you were probably going to have to hit 3 shots on the back nine that didn't fit your eye. And that if you wanted to win, you were going to have to challenge those swings, or you could just accept finishing 4th or 5th. As you watch the back nine coming home here, you see some certain holes where the players are really going to have to stand up, and if they're going to win the tournament, they're going to probably have to hit some uncomfortable shots.
Oh, there's no doubt, and I'm not surprised you remembered that, because you're a sharp guy and you're always looking for thinking a way to do well in advance. But it's going to happen in the beginning of this round. I remember, when I won the PGA, I was definitely afraid of the 5th hole and the 13th hole. I had hit 2 draws because I was hitting a fade. But this particular course, Champions, they're going to have to get through number 4. They're going to have to drive the ball excellent on number 11, 17, and 18. I mean, it's so easy to go into the rough at Champions, to get away from the water. Charlie, you and I, we've played 100 rhubarbs together.
Yes.
And, we've always coming down to those last few holes, and you've got to take them on if you're going to try to win this tournament.
You know, with the speed of the greens and the subtle undulations, excuse me, the ball coming out of the rough is coming out hot, and it's going to get on those fast greens, and it's going to roll out. And I see a couple of pin placements. I'll take number 11, for example. That ball, they can hit it, you know, to the right of the pin, but if it's got a little too much, you know, speed on it, it can roll over to the left into the hazard. So they're going to play two conservative, and then they hit it in the bunker, and then coming out of that bunker, to that left pin placement, that ball can escape into the water.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen, you know, the first 2 days, as you guys already noted, they had to get all the ladies around. They played both courses. Jackrabbit course looked great the first 2 days. But now the whole U.S. Open changed last night. It rained here last night, probably half an inch. Now the USGA realizes that the girls have made the cut. Now they get to showcase some of the really nasty pins, the champions, big greens. Now the course is wet and longer. It's going to be a super hard test for the girls that are playing on the weekend.
We're going to have a lot of spectators on television today, and the growth of junior golf has just really been tremendous this summer. The growth of ladies' junior golf has really improved, and there's a lot more women playing golf and girls playing golf. What would you advise those girls watching these pros on television? What should they look for, Elk?
Well, I know a lot of these young girls that are trying to be, you know, they just, they're, when you look at the tour, the ladies tour, there's so many different swings. You have swings that are, you know, long swings. You've got ones, I'm actually surprised how sort of the variation of swings, you know, on the tour, and I'll bring in Billy on this one, is there's more. I'm so happy to see the girls' swings are way more upright. I mean, to me, Justin Thomas broke the mold when he came out. He's gone back to being upright, and I've always been upright. We fought for years to try to get our swings flatter, but I just love where the swings are right now. And I want the girls to look at the ladies' swings and how high they get their hands at the top of the swing, where they get all that width. I mean, you think back of, you know, Mickey Wright and some of these players that have their hands way up above their head, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you can always drop that club. You got plenty of room, and I'm seeing a lot of girls just have beautiful, big, long, wide swings. I love it.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of the modern measuring and technology and 3D stuff seems to indicate, Elk, that the wider the hand path in the swing, the more power you'll get. You know, and we obviously saw that with Jack years ago, and Justin Thomas for sure. Dustin Johnson really has his hands up there. So it's funny how the game and the swings evolve, and sometimes they go back to what was good 40, 50 years ago.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt about that. I've just really enjoyed watching these girls the way they swing their backswings, because you've always got room to get it if you do go a little too high. Now let's talk about the extreme, like Matt Wolf, who goes way out there. We all know how crazy looking his backswing is, but he has all that room to drop it in. People say, what's the slot? Well, if you want to feel the slot, then go away from it and then work your way back into it. And I see that a little bit more with the lady players.
We know that, like Jackie says, you know, and he was watching Stacey Lewis warm up before the tournament, and Jackie did one of his great ways of getting a point across, and he says, you know, Stacey, the golf course is run one right over there, and he pointed at the putting green. Now, putting, I'm sorry about my voice, but putting is an extremely talent. But lag putting, what would you recommend these girls watch on the putting green?
Well, all these girls have, you know, they're very precise. Lady players pay a lot of attention to detail when it comes down to putting. They're very good short-range putters. Now, on this particular golf course, do you want to be 40 or 50 feet away from the flag, or do you want to try to take it on and also know that you may miss the green and have to chip the ball? So I didn't quite answer your question there, Charlie, but I don't want to leave myself a lot of putts at champions. But, yes, the lady players, they keep the putter face very square. I mean, putting has got a lot better. I mean, I read these statistics now where these players hardly ever miss over the whole year from 3 feet. Mate, if I only missed about 10% of my three footers, I'd be in Monte Carlo now sipping on a drink with an umbrella in it.
Steve Elkington is the voice you hear joining us here on the show. Steve, finally, I'm just curious, you know, looking ahead now to the year 2021, what are some of the storylines in golf, either in men's or ladies, that are most exciting to you? What do you look forward to seeing in the new calendar year when you tune in to watch golf?
Well, I look forward to the Masters getting back to it being in April. I think that'll be much better for everybody. I will tell you a story about this week. There's a gal named Gabby Ruffel. She's a senior at USC. She won the U.S. Amateur last year, and she was runner-up this year. She's from Australia. That's why I'm telling you this. But interestingly enough, this girl's going to turn pro. She's one of the best natural players I've ever seen, tall, very strong. 5 years ago, she didn't even play golf. She was the number one tennis player in the world for her age at 15. Now, 5 years later, she's in the U.S. Open. She's going to turn pro. She's already the U.S. Amateur champion. Just an amazing athlete. And, you know, I don't even know how to explain Gabby Ruffles to you two guys. Three guys.
You know what, Steve? She's a member of Toscana where I work. So I see her all the time. And you're
well,
right.
You know.
She's a natural.
Absolute natural is right.
Well, Elk, this is the last question. I know you got other things you got to get involved in, but it's not a question, it's a comment. Congratulations to you and Champions and Jackie and Robin on such a great, great event, and bringing this type of golf to Houston is outstanding. Who's going to win?
Oh, that's a tough question, Charlie. It all depends what happens today with Schiavone, whether she can hold it at 7-under or does she move back. I said earlier that she's going to move back a few strokes. I got to say, there's a lot of people in it from even par all the way up. I'd like to see Stacey Lewis prevail. She's one of our members. Lynchicum and Lopez are both Secret Golf girls. They're down the ways a little bit, but I wouldn't even mind seeing a girl, an amateur. There's two of them in the final group today. One of the gals, Pap, who's from University of Texas, she's in the final group. I wouldn't mind seeing one of those amateurs come through. Wouldn't that shake up the golf world?
That'd be great.
Steve, thank you so much for taking some time this morning. Enjoy the rest of the major championship, and it's been a pleasure catching up.
Great to catch up with you boys. Thanks.
Steve Elkington, our guest here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Coming up next, we will wrap it all up for you. Charlie and Bill, got to make some picks. Who's going to win this major championship? Plus, we'll look ahead to everything going on in the world of golf. Stay tuned. It is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, and you're listening to us here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
It's our final segment here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Jake Asman filling in for John this morning. Charlie Epps in studio, the great Bill Harmon over the phone. And gentlemen, some final thoughts here as we wrap up this edition of the show. We'll start with you, Charlie.
Well, it never surprises me that Elk brings on a lot of great information, only because he is who he is, and he was so successful as a junior golfer, as a collegiate golfer at University of Houston. Bill, and as a touring professional, not many had a better career than he did. It just strikes me that even at his age, how he's into golf, and I think he's just a great interview, Bill.
No, he's great. He's got great observations. He's been inside the ropes. He's seen, played, and beaten the best. I love his observations. Very astute. And I think one of the things that came out of the having him on the show was how proud he was to be a member of the Champions and how proud he was of what was going on this week. And that's what came out of it to me, is that how the Champions is being perceived in the golfing world has great meaning to them.
You know, Champions is a rare membership in that Jackie Burke won the PGA, Jay Abreu won the PGA, Steve Elkington won the PGA, Dave Marr won the PGA. They've had three astronauts being members out there. I mean, the list goes on, and now Stacey Lewis is following up, and she is a member, so it'll be a great story, especially for Houston, to have Stacey win. But, you know, overall, it's just been such a great a great event. I congratulate the USGA on all of their efforts to make sure the championship was played, even in December, Jake. And so it takes a lot of effort, and we'll have a fun weekend.
No doubt about it. So how about the winning score? What is your guys' feel on what it's going to take to win this major championship?
Well, Bill, what do you think?
I'm going to go with -3. I think the scores will come back, maybe even -2. Literally almost the same thing happened at Wingfoot. The scores were quite low the first day. About 7 or 8 less people under par after the second round, and by Sunday there was one player under par. I think there'll be a few more under par at Champions because I think the greens are a lot bigger, Charlie, and it'll be easier to hit greens than at Wingfoot. But I would be very surprised if you have more than 5 people under par at the end of the week.
Yeah, you have 16 now, so I agree with you. The weather's coming in a little stronger tomorrow, Bill, and I'm sure they'll set the golf course up a little more difficult each day. They say the moving day is on Saturday, but in a major championship, you don't want to move backwards. And so they're going to be playing a little more conservative. And so I think that will affect the scoring. But as we know, these ladies have really improved their skills, and it's going to be a fun weekend either way.
No doubt about it. He's Bill Harmon over the phone. He, of course, is the great Charlie Epps, who is about to jet out of our studio here and head over to Champions Club to watch the conclusion, at least for Saturday's play of the U.S.
Thanks,
Women's
guys.
Open.
Thank you, Bill.
Great show this morning. Thanks so much to everyone who took time to tune in. Thanks, of course, to our guests, the great Steve Elkington and Charlie and the guys. We'll be back next week. Have a great weekend, everyone.